Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I am Ben Trueblood, John Paul Basham.
Yo.
We are excited to spend another episode with you.
Yeah, we are.
To talk some great student ministry content. But before we get into the topic of today's episode, we want to tell you about free gifts that we have for you. As we approach this fall, everybody is in recruiting volunteer, training volunteer, fall launch mode. And so we want to help you out with that by giving you 6 sessions completely free of volunteer training. You can go to lifeway.com/student-ministry-training and get video training based on the distinctives of Bible study. There are 6 sessions that you can take. Show the videos, take the material, use it as your own, present it however you want to use it. Doesn't matter to us. The bottom line is we want to help you, equip you, resource you. And so find that training at lifeway.com/student-ministry-training. And you can download those videos as well as discussion guides for each video that we have. So take advantage of free training. Go there now and enjoy. Also, the quick reminder, head to iTunes, leave that 5-star rating and review if you haven't done it yet. It helps other student pastors and student ministry leaders find this content along with you. So head over there, leave that rating and review. We would really appreciate it, and let us know how we can get better, how we can serve you better through the podcast. Both in those reviews and on Twitter. You can find me at Ben Trueblood, and you can find John Paul at John Paul Basham, B-A-S-H-A-M. So hit us up on Twitter, leave a rating and review, take the conversation out of the podcast and into other social media centers. That was a really long, information-packed introduction today. So we'll try not to do that every time, but we want to give you free stuff, so we need to tell you about it. Today's topic, also dealing with this fall. Everybody's getting into launch mode, hopefully. It's mid-July. If you haven't thought about this fall yet, there's still time, but barely. You should begin thinking and planning if you haven't right now. So, launch mode for this fall. It's going to be a great fall for you, I hope. Today, we're going to run through 10 things that you need to make sure and do to have the best fall that you've ever had. That'd be a great moment for like a epic sound effect, right?
Yeah.
The best fall ever, ever, ever. That's right. That's how we're going to do these sound effects. I think it has a little flair of personality with it. Because some podcasts would do like actual sound effects. But we want to put ourselves in every aspect of this show.
It's like some actors say, like, oh, I do all my own stunts.
Yeah, that's right.
We can say, oh, we do all our own sound effects.
We do all our own sound effects.
Yeah, we could tell.
to the detriment of our listening audience. All right.
Deuce.
So, 10 things that you must do to prepare for this fall. Let's get the easy one out of the way first. And we're going to play a little game here. Normally, full disclosure, normally, John Paul and I prepare for these. And we have some whiteboards in the Dave McNeil Memorial Podcast studio.
Two giant ones.
And normally we put stuff on those. Producer Nathan, say hey.
What's up?
Yeah, so producer Nathan has the outlines ready for us and all of those things, like we normally do that.
He's got one ready for this episode.
But we threw it in the garbage.
Sorry, Nathan.
No, we are going to play a fun game where John Paul and I say back and forth to get to 10 things that you should do to get ready for this fall. And not should, must. You must do these things to have the best fall ever.
Dude.
This is excellent. I love it. All right. Do you want to go first or should we flip a coin or something?
No, you can.
Okay.
I flipped one already. It landed on your name.
We don't have
it because I have coins with your name on them.
That's scary. All right, so I'm going to take an easy one, and I'm going to say you must be recruiting volunteers.
Ooh, that's a good one.
One of the 10 things you have to do heading into this fall is continue recruiting volunteers. We say continue because you should never stop, right?
Right. Are we trying to go in order of, like, number one, this is the top thing?
No.
Or number one is the least important thing?
I don't think so. We probably should have talked about that at least. I think order is not of importance.
I was going to say, a little extra pressure if we're ranking these on the fly, too.
No, let's not rank for this one.
Okay.
Maybe as we get more skilled in this game.
Then yes, leader recruitment is a big deal. And more than likely, you're going to see, as you're gearing up for fall, some new students start visiting your ministry, people moving into town maybe.
Yes.
People getting back into the swing of their normal routine. Hey, we vacationed all summer. We're going to get back into the school and work groove, which in some towns means we're getting back into the swing of church again. So you'll probably have some visitors, have some people that haven't attended in a while that come back again. So you're going to need to make sure you got volunteers.
That's right. So never stop recruiting. If you have stopped, jump in now and begin recruiting volunteers. And remember, just as a side note, you guys have heard us say this before, an empty chair is better than having the wrong person in a chair. So don't use that as an excuse to enter this fall with empty seats for volunteers and where they need to be. But at the same time, don't rush the process or you'll end up with the wrong people. Now, that's why we say continuously recruit, because if you've been recruiting since last August volunteers that you need, then you'll be in less of a rush now.
I got number two.
All right, number two.
Put together your fall leader training plan.
Yes, I love it.
Because if you're going to recruit new ones, you're going to need to train them up, get them ready.
What would you put in the plan?
See, we're only doing things to do, not how to do it. The problem here is that we don't have a plan.
But sometimes when you make a game of it, it's good. This is a good one.
Okay. Decision counseling.
Yes.
So decision counseling plan. What are the expectations? How do we do it? Guest services plan. What's our first impression plan? If you're a part of the Student Pastor Network, we just did a couple of videos there on how to do that well. You're going to want to train your small group leaders on how the small group environment goes. And then there's a lot of contextual things.
Yeah.
That you may want to train on.
Curriculum specific things that you might be doing in your student ministry that you need to make sure they're trained up on.
If you have the Agape Cafe, you may need to train your your volunteers.
The Agape Cafe is amazing. We were talking about this the other day. Was it us or was it me and somebody else?
I think it was us.
We were on our way in from lunch. No, it was anyway. Listeners wouldn't know these people, but we were walking and we were talking about the hilarious church coffee shop names, mm-hmm. like the Agape Cafe,
Holy Grounds,
Hebrews.
See,
we could do that as a game.
Mm-hmm.
It would be similar to our top 10 things you should be doing this fall. Nathan, remind us what number one and two were through the mic, please.
Number one is recruiting volunteers and continuing to recruit volunteers. And number two is put together your fall leader training plan.
Nice.
That was a good recap.
Producer Nathan's going to be in this podcast a lot because, once again, no notes. This is the launch in. So number three.
So here's a sound effect, and then you can give number three.
Okay.
Number three.
Number three. Plan. You should plan your first worship service completely. Make it a big deal. Have an event-like focus on that first student worship service back. Make it a big deal for students. Make it a big deal for parents. Don't treat it as just another Wednesday night or Sunday night or Tuesday night, whenever you do your student worship service. That student worship service, when everybody's back in town, when everybody's getting back into the swing of things, back at school, everything's new, it's going to set the pace for the rest of the semester on the importance that people place in your student worship service and how they interact with it, the level at which they invite their friends to it, all of those things. That first worship service back for you is a pace setter.
Yeah.
So treat it with a great deal of respect. Treat it with a great deal of priority. Communicate to volunteers, parents, students, what the goals of that service are going to be, and promote it to event level on your radar. It should be a big deal in your ministry.
Totally agree.
Number four,
communicate your fall plan. You need to be telling your leaders and parents and staff, for that matter, if you haven't communicated to your staff what's going on, what your fall plan is, everything that's coming down the pike. So when are you kicking off? If you're going to have events through the fall, what are those events? What do they cost? What are they about? That whole deal.
Yes.
Let people know what's going on.
Communicate the fall plan.
Yes.
Number four.
Five!
That was a tremendous, tremendous five. All right. So number five, the fifth thing that you should be doing in getting ready for this fall, take some time away with your family if that applies to you. If you are single, you do not have an immediate family there with you, take some time by yourself, go somewhere, get away with some friends, travel to where your family is, but find a way to rest and recharge before this fall. Summer is extremely busy. Fall is extremely busy. Student ministry is extremely busy. And so this number five, the thing that you need to do in preparing to have the best fall ever, is to spend some time away. Rest, relax, recharge, and be ready to, another R, run into this fall.
Ooh.
At an incredible pace. Number five. Numero seis.
I was trying to think about how to say this in Spanish, but the words aren't coming to me. And most of our listeners might not understand.
That would have been super impressive, though.
Mm. So in English, for all of our English-speaking listeners, English-hearing listeners, you should set out your scope and sequence. For Wednesdays and Sundays, or maybe I should say that different because not every church does things on the same night before a midweek experience and your weekend experience, however you have those mapped out. Know what you're going to teach. Know what you are expecting students to learn.
Yeah, so chart the course. Make sure you have the curriculum lined up that you use for your small groups, the sermon preparation. This gets you away from the habit that all of us have been in, but it's not a great habit to be in. And that's the Wednesday morning or Tuesday morning planning for a Wednesday night service, or Friday and Saturday writing your message for a Sunday night student service. Whenever it is, working in that last minute pace. Listen, we've all been there. We've all fallen to that temptation, but it's not a great place to live. And so you should have, going into this fall, take some time and chart the course, the scope and sequence of what you're going to teach in your small groups. That's why partnering with a curriculum provider is an awesome decision, because that can take it completely off your plate. We would love to serve you in that way through Lifeway Students and what we offer. And then on your Wednesday nights, being able to go ahead, or Sunday nights or whenever, student worship service, you guys know what we mean, being able to know all of that in advance, all the way through, man, I think through December.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead and have that 4 months knocked out, and then begin planning and thinking about what you're going to do in the winter and spring. So that way you can get out of the rut of the last minute work, and you can get into farther out planning, which ultimately makes you a much more effective leader.
Seven.
Number seven, execute your campus ministry strategy.
Ooh.
If you don't have one, you can also read seven as develop a campus ministry strategy.
Man, so, I was going to say that for eight.
So how are you going to reach students on their school campus this fall? What are the ministry opportunities that you're going to take advantage of? What ways are you going to work to get on the campus? What students are you targeting specifically to help you lead out in a ministry on each campus? But identify campuses that are more open than others. Think about the ministries that you can be involved in that are already on campus, like First Priority, FCA, and many others. Plug into those. Find students. Maybe there are students in your ministry that want to start something from scratch on their school campus. Figure out what teams and clubs and extracurricular activities that you or a representative of your ministry can be a part of. Drop those popsicles off at the football practice and the band practice after those hot summer, early fall days of them being out in the sun for a long time. Plan, develop your campus ministry strategy, and begin executing that campus ministry strategy now. Because if you're going to have an amazing kickoff worship service and small groups in your fall, then you want to be starting now in getting the word out through all of these early fall, late summer activities that start up. So the band is going to begin practicing anytime now. The football team is going to be practicing anytime now. There are other sports, other activities. Maybe the drama club at your school is a big deal. That's going to start up very soon. So get with those people. Begin planning, strategizing on how you're going to minister to them and get the word out about the fall and how awesome it's going to be.
If you do popsicles.
Popsicles.
I think you should step up the pop game some.
Yeah. And we're talking about those like squeeze pop that are like in the plastic tube and they're just frozen. Normally that's what people. But John Paul is requesting a step up here.
I think you need to go gourmet pop. I want some jalapeno pineapple popsicles all around.
Go with the new like Steel City Pops that's in Alabama and Texas and some other places. Yep. So you're suggesting the gourmet popsicle
for
this.
The gourmet pop. You're going to need to go for the smaller sports team.
Yeah.
For this one.
That's true.
Like this is good for the golf team.
Yeah. Or like individual players on the tennis team. Like only the top tier get the gourmet pops. And everybody else gets the otter pops.
Yeah. I like that plan.
Or the, what was that one from the ice cream truck when you were kids? It was like the ghost that was like blue and had gumball eyes. You remember that thing?
No, I always went for the rocket, the red, white, and blue rocket pop.
Yeah, it's a solid pop there too. You want to really impress the team. If you are in an area where the colors of the school are blue or red, you bring those rocket pops, they'll let you do anything you want on campus.
You're in.
Number 8.
Identify a smaller group of students for a deep leadership, discipleship emphasis through the fall semester. I think it's really important as you're walking into each season of ministry to make sure that you are walking with a group of students that you can really pour into, be super intentional with, let them see you doing life, you do life with them. Meet with them on a regular basis and try to really strategically develop them to develop some other students. So identify those students, and you may be in a place where you can identify some leaders who can also identify some smaller groups of students to really pour intentionally into.
Yeah, I love that. And that's where I think if you ask a lot of student ministry people, like that's what they want to be doing too, you know? Like that's why they got into student ministry, was to have those small group relationships with teenagers and to see them become reproducing disciples themselves. Like that is definitely something to approach this fall. Hopefully you've been doing that during the summer. Hopefully that will be a continuation for you as you continue to meet with that group of young men. If you're a male listening to this, or young women, if you're a female listening to this, for the opposite gender of you, you should be recruiting people who also are taking those smaller groups, 3, 4, 5 at a time, and walking through with them in discipleship.
Number nine.
So number 9, plan gender-specific ministry.
Ooh, I like it.
So what are you going to do this fall to minister specifically to the young ladies in your ministry and to minister specifically to the young men in your ministry in a separate way? Now, some of you might already have, I would guess the majority of you already have gender-specific small groups. So if that's already happening, that's not what I'm talking about here, because in those situations, you want to stay on the planned scope and sequence that you have that you're running in that discipleship environment. What I'm referring to here is the extra guy-specific topics that you need to hit and girl-specific topics that you need to hit in your ministry in order to engage those two groups of people where they are. This is a really important part of ministry, because if you think about the discipleship of people in general, it's not a like conveyor belt type system where you do the same thing for every person and at the end of the conveyor belt, they all pop off as reproducing disciples. Discipleship is an individual process. It takes you being able to, or someone, another leader in your ministry, being able to walk specifically with a group of people and tailor making spiritual development to those people. That's why John Paul a minute ago suggested that smaller group, that 3, 4, 5 people, because you're able to get to a level of intimacy that's much greater in that smaller group than you would in other normal type of groups. All right. So taking that individualized approach a step further is, what are you going to do to speak specifically to young men that you couldn't say or discuss or get to the level that you need to be in a mixed environment? How are you going to get those young men into smaller groups where they can, with a godly, compassionate, caring adult leader or yourself, where they can discuss the things that they need to discuss in real time, in the moment that they need to continue their discipleship, to fight the temptation that they're dealing with, to celebrate the victories that they have with each other? And then, man, just have some fun stuff as you think about gender-specific ministry. Like, what are some awesome, fun things that you can get the girls in your ministry together to do and the guys in your ministry together to do? And just, this is one way that you can inject the fun element into your ministry, is through the gender-specific stuff. And go all out for it.
Mechanical bull.
Mechanical bull.
All out.
Throwing hatchets safely. Teaching people how to change a tire on a car. That sounds awesome. That sounds like a really fun idea. But hey, if they're stranded on the side of the road, flat tire, they'll know how to change it.
Yep. And if they ever find themselves in a dive bar with a mechanical bull, they'll know what to do.
That's right. You get on that bull and hold on for 8 seconds. That's what you do. Stinking yeehaw. Number 10. Yeehaw.
Put together a plan for parent ministry.
Plan for parent ministry.
Maybe not as fun as the mechanical bull.
Unless
the parents are riding a mechanical bull.
Yes.
As part of the plan. Now that would be fun. I don't know how your attendance would be for the next meeting after you make them ride the bull.
Probably depends on where you are in the country and the
that's true
demographic makeup of your church. The people at Mulberry Bush
Baptist Church,
probably all in.
First Baptist Church of the Mulberry Bush. Yeah, they like a bull.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, you do need to put together a plan for parent ministry. Make sure that you know how you're going to, again, communicate with them about what's going on, but also train them, equip them to be better disciplers of their students. I think that's all I got for that one.
So in parent ministry, one of the things we always think it's important to remind you of is that pastoring teenagers is very different than parenting teenagers. And so if you've never parented a teenager, then parent ministry may look a little different for you because you're not in the place of expert because you've never parented a teenager. But you can fulfill the role of this middle person where you are an information superhighway, where you are able to pass off parenting information to experts, either experts in your ministry, other staff people at your church, parents in your ministry that you can hook up with other parents and say, hey, like, they're struggling with this. I know your path. I know how you've raised your children. So where you can put parents together to discuss the issues, or if you have a parent meeting, get some of the solid parents that you know parent their teenagers well and disciple their teenagers. Put them in front of the other parents and allow them to talk about it. You, in many cases, if you've never parented teenagers, need to play that role where you are pointing parents to the experts rather than trying to be an expert in parenting yourself if you've never done it. Now, that may be hard for you to swallow if you have small children and you're like, but I am a parent. I know how to do that. It's just different. Don't be offended by that. Don't let it bristle you. It's just different to pastor teenagers than it is to parent teenagers. And a lot of times, we as student ministry people, in an effort to maybe from a righteous place to try to speak into that, man, we can get ourselves in a place where we're burning a lot of relational bridges if we're trying to just instruct, especially where we see gaps in parenting and discipleship. But if you are pointing people to the experts and you are playing information superhighway of parent ministry, then I think you're in the right spot. That doesn't mean you shouldn't speak to it. It just means that you need to go the extra step and make sure that you're knowledgeable, that you have consulted the right resources, and that you pass people off to the right resources.
And this is part of just being a savvy leader too.
Yeah.
Being able to provide a wealth of great content. That is what is going to bring those parents back to those meetings.
That's right.
So ultimately, you want them to be involved in your ministry because you want them there as a disciple maker. So it's worth, even if that's a little bit of a blow to your ego, it is worth it, one, for you to put your ego down some. But two, to go elsewhere for that information and provide a valuable training time for those parents so that you can gain the support from those parents, the relationships with them that allow you access to their students, and the larger team of volunteers to pour into the ministry that God's given you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that is a spot where we're going to wrap today's 10 things you must do as you approach this fall. So Nathan, producer Nathan, why don't you give us the rundown one more time of all 10? Because there's no way that we could, you've been taking notes, so that's good.
I'm going to need you to get creative on this rundown too.
Creative, okay. I'll see what I can do.
All right.
Well, number one, we've got must be recruiting volunteers. Is that creative?
I like it.
I think you should do them all with that.
That accent? Good.
We'll call it the Harry Patter. No. give us some Harry Potter.
Good, because I didn't have 10 accents, so.
That's what I was looking for.
Man,
I almost wish
I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, number two, put together your fall leader training plan. Number three, plan your first worship service completely. Make it a big deal. Number four, communicate your fall plan. Number five, take some time away for your family. So rest, relax, and refresh. Number six, set out your scope and sequence. Number seven, execute your campus ministry strategy. Number eight, identify a small group for discipleship and leadership training. Number nine, plan gender-specific ministry. And number 10, put together a plan for parent ministry.
I like it.
There it is. Top 10 list.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We'll see you next time.